joyful, love-saturated silence remained after he declared it finished and breathed his last. A silence hung over the fields of Judea. It echoed over and drowned out the sounds of the lapping water on Galilee's shores. The brightest light in all the universe, known and unknown, snuffed out like a candle with barely any wax left to burn. Jesus was spent. Everything he had, literally everything left within his heart, it poured out. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water came out. It was all too much for him as his body mixed and drained these fluids together in one final act of love, a loud act, a voluminous act. It is finished. And it gave way to silence. His silence as they took him off the tree, his mother's stunned and crushed silence as she had no more tears and cries to spare. The other women's silence as they felt they could not overshadow Mary's grief, and thus they kept it tightly in their chests. There was the silence of John, who lost his own beloved. There was the silence of Mary Magdalene, who lost the one who taught her how to love and be loved, who liberated her. Certainly, any air that was left in Jesus' body was gone. When they took him off the cross, there were sounds, but he did not make a sound. He was silent. How could it be? How could it be that this word which spoke creation into being, who had cries and songs, not unlike those we're hearing this morning, songs of life and joy? How could it be that this word, silent, gone, empty, lies in a tomb shut up by death? How could it be that there he lies, motionless and white, preaching no kingdom of love, singing no songs of salvation? The world was crying out to be saved. How can it be that here in this place he lie? But then for those who would have been near, that silence would have given way to something else. The shuffling sounds of wings, the sandals and the spears figuring out what that noise was from, the guards going to discern, and then suddenly, just like that, there he is, burst forth from the grave, silent no more. The sharp intake of breath, the bones snapping together, the lungs inflating once again, silent no more. The stretching of arms and joints into an embrace of the world, the pulse of the risen one, a pulse in rhythm with the very foundation of the universe, love. I mean, what, y'all? You thought this moment was quiet and polite? A resurrection fit for Sunday afternoon tea? No, this was a loud declaration against death, hell, and the grave. It was a loud declaration against evil, against injustice. It was a loud declaration of love, of hope, of power. This silent love becoming something more. It's found now in a hope-filled power, power that screams not with agony, but pure, unbridled hope. He's alive. He's alive. Good God Almighty, Jesus Christ, he's alive. Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come. See the place where they lay him. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead. That silence, it lasted. It lasted for 3 days, but then it gave way to something else. That silence, it was thick. But then it was pierced by a new sound, this new melody. Oh, that silence, it was there, but it gave way to power. A power that undid the ancient order of death written into our species. A defiant power that undid the violence imposed on us by the choices of our ancient ancestors. A power that disrupted, that challenged, that took oppression and evil of every sort into the claws of mercy and stole breath from death itself. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. That angel, whatever her name was, that angel understood the assignment to the guards, to Rome, to an old order of power. To them, the angel came with the power of planet Earth itself, joining the chorus of life over death. The angel came and made them cower with fear. So fearful, they were as dead as Christ was before, just absolutely worthless, powerless over everything. It's as if Rome itself was on notice, and this was simply the first fruits of what was about to happen. This angel came with power, making the earth quake as the stone was rolled away. He came with power, causing these emissaries of violence and terror to themselves be terrified. But to those afraid already, afraid because of the death they saw, the women, those on the bottom, afraid because of the strangeness, afraid because of the lightning, to them there was power. Yes, but it was a power of a different sort. It did not cause them to quake and tremble and fear and become as good as dead. It was a power that caused the oppressed to take heart while it shot fear into the hearts of those unjust. My excellent friends, we have only begun to tap into this power of love, the power that reminds us that even in the darkest hours, when the sun feels the farthest, when no light shines on our path, when we feel cold as we drift further away from our source, this is the power that we have come to honor and acclaim today and to take into our bodies, minds, and souls. This is the power that we have come to be filled with courage, with faith. We allow it to reach into our very selves, transforming us into something more than we were before we walked in here. We leave here as someone new, not because you came in here deficient or broken. No. You're pure, you're beautiful, you're holy, you are good already. But this thing that we call Easter, this resurrection, this power, this newness, it makes us something more than human. It makes us superhuman. And I might speak with hyperbole, yeah, and a grandeur that sometimes feels impossible. My wife tells me I'm guilty of that. But I am a preacher. On a day like today, though, on a day like today, I dare to dream that the impossible is possible. On a day like today, I dare to dream that something more than violence and domination will rule the day. Today, I dare to dream that the love supreme made known in that empty tomb will empty all the tombs still holding captive our brothers, sisters, and siblings wherever they are. Today, I dare to dream that the nightmares of our designs will fade away as the joy of God's dream becomes clear. Today, I dare to dream that the resurrection did not just happen once years ago in a garden tomb paid for by a grieving friend. Today, I dare to dream that the resurrection will happen here, in this place, in this very moment. Time would not allow me to meet all your eyes, but I would if I could. I dare to dream that you will leave here changed. I dare to dream that you will know your sacred worth. I dare to dream that your life from henceforth will be changed because you will walk out here knowing your power, your goodness, your beauty, your call, your aim, your destiny. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is like a brain buster right onto the head of death itself. Jesus Christ, our champion, Christ the victor, love, my friends, will always be more powerful than hate, fear, evil, domination, violence, cruelty, you name it. One glimmer of love light burns with more clarity than the dirty flames of hate. Today, as we see this pure flame burning before our very eyes, illuminating us, helping us see the clarity of Christ in our midst, may we take this paschal flame into our hearts. May we burn with a passion like we've never known before, a passion of fire that, like the burning bush, does not consume us, but liberates us. May this Easter day truly, truly be resurrection for you in the way you need it, for me in the way I need it, for the whole cosmos. I dare to dream that everything impossible becomes possible on a day like today. Amen.